Welcome to the Grace Vineyard Podcast, where we are building growing communities of worshipers who are becoming like Christ, empowered to do His work. We hope you enjoy this message.
This is a super cool day because this is Honey. Say hi, Honey.
Good morning, Grace Vineyard.
And 5 years ago today, was it right over there or right here?
Yeah, right over there.
It was right over here.
Yep.
There was like a inflatable hot tub, and he got baptized 5 years ago today.
Woo!
And he's just going to give a brief testimony about his life and what happened 5 years ago. He's been part of our family for 5 years. It's been awesome. So go ahead. Tell us your story, Honey.
Good morning, Grace Vineyard family. As Ron said, today is my five-year anniversary that I was born again in Christ.
Woo!
What an amazing, amazing gift. That's me. I know it's hard to believe, but that's me. No, it's amazing what God could do. Amen. That was December 15th, 2018. That is the day that I entered rehab in Palm Springs. We're going to keep this up. We're going to keep this up here for a minute. 30 days later, I was in San Diego in an outpatient program living in a sober house. I was blessed enough to have met Takashi. Some of you know Takashi. As my first Sunday in that house, Takashi invited me to go to Grace Vineyard. He said, hey, I'll buy you some Starbucks. Do you want to go to church? You know, he had me at Starbucks. We'll say it that way, right? He really had me at let's go to church. Takashi would sit in the second to last seat in the first row, and I would sit right next to him. And I showed up. A few months later, this is what happened. We show that video, please.
Ryan, are you recording? That's her mom. She's back in New York.
Hi, mom. We love your son.
Yeah, see, mom? I told you I was good.
So, you're from New York. You've been here how long?
Going on 5.5 months.
Okay, and recently you were in a not great place, and now you helped you come to a different place, right?
A very different place, absolutely.
So how have you become a follower of Jesus? What the kind of short version of...
Short version?
I know.
I'm looking through a guy from back in New York.
Short version.
Like, born into a Catholic Orthodox Middle Eastern family. Went to parochial school, Catholic school, my whole life. So Catholicism is basically how I was raised as far as in religious beliefs. I've always believed in God, His Son, Mary, Joseph, God of the Cross. All that was all always there. Around 20 years old, I picked up this great addiction habit, which was, you know, just great, you know. It carried me 30 years of addiction. You know, that's a lot of pain, a lot of strife. You know, there's a lot that comes with it. 5.5 months ago, and one of his promises is from the pit to the palace, from the back to the front, I'll take you from the bottom to the top. I make it a head, not the tail. So I went from a crack house to a beach house because that's where the sober house was. So 5.5 months ago, I was in a crack house, and then all of a sudden, the next day, I was an inpatient. 30 days later, I was in a beach house in Oceanside, and I saw the sun come up.
Right on.
I saw the sun set. I saw dolphins swimming in the water. I was just blown away. So how he got me here, he got me here. This is a path that he put me on. I don't know exactly what he wants from me, but I pray for that. I really pray for that. You know, I want to do what you do. I just
I don't have that seminary school card. You don't got it either?
Thank you for that. We're going to leave that blank for a minute. I'm going to read a verse really quick here. Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Yeah.
The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Can we show that video, please?
Oh, yeah, I do that.
May the Lord bless you richly and powerfully as we baptize you now. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May all the past be
Thank you. That was Christian and Brian that dunked me. And I was never the same after that. That moment, my life went into a different direction I could have never imagined. Never in a million years. I'm going to read from John 17. Even in the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it is neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Amen. Since that day, the Holy Spirit has guided me every single day of my life. Our journeys, they're all different. And at the same time, they're all similar. However, in the end, our destination is with our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Thank you all so much for allowing me to share. I hope this has inspired all of you. And especially, hear this, and especially the newcomers. Keep coming back. Do not miss the miracle. It happened to me. It most definitely could happen for you. Our God saves. Our God saves. This is a testimony to my Lord and Savior.
Awesome. Thank you. You did great.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, today at 12:30, Casey is going to be baptized, right? No, not Casey. Who is it? Josh. Jose. Have the wrong guy. You got baptized. You're getting baptized. I'm so confused. Today, right? Yes, at Buccaneer Park, right? Is that right? And Ben, too. So two more baptisms. And it's super fun and encouraging when the family of God comes around to encourage, cheer on, pray. So if you're able, at 12:30, get down to the beach area in front of Buccaneer Park today. So you're getting baptized on the grass? There's water there. You're going to hose them down? Okay. They'll work it out. I don't need to bother myself. Fire hydrant it is. Okay. You guys are the coolest church. I love being part of this group. Hey, I see something else in front of me I need to remind you of. Are you okay? We're like changing the channels real fast all over the place. We're like, see what's on. As you walk out, you probably will see on some of the doors a poster for the 10th annual Breath of Heaven golf tournament. And if you haven't, please look for that. There's a little card like this. And this is for golfers and non-golfers like myself. This is an annual fundraiser for the work we do with orphans. in sub-Saharan Africa, where lives are being changed. If you golf, you'll have a lot of fun. If you don't golf like me, I show up for the banquet part, the after the golfing, and we eat food and we watch the people that won all the prizes. There's tons of prizes usually, like thousands of dollars worth of prizes usually. Super fun day. So if you're a golfer, sign up. It's May 20th. That was the end of that announcement. Hey, back to the Word. Let's change channels again to the Bible. You ready? You might even want a Bible in your hand, although scriptures that we read will be mostly put on the screen, I think. Oh, also, I printed out for you one of these things that you may have grabbed when you walked in that's got lots of ink on the page, which is some scriptures and an outline of what I intend to talk about today. I keep getting requests for these. They're like, would you please print some stuff up for us? So I have accommodated you. Hope it helps. You know, let's pray as we approach God's word. Lord, you are real. You are legit. We've come to a real God. We've come to be encountered by your word and your presence and be transformed by you. We are asking that you will be very present. Still, you've been present all morning now in a new way as we seek to be transformed and to be trained as citizens of the kingdom of God and warriors in the army of God, that you would equip and train us today. Help me to speak what you want said. Help us all to hear what you want said so that we can participate in your good mission for our planet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Every one of you in this room has been invited to come and follow Jesus. Every one of you. And every one of you has been created by God with particular callings on your life, purposes that God has ordained from before you were created for your life. Every one of you. And, this part's hard to believe, but every single one of you has been endued, if you can handle that word, endued or poured into, with amazing gifts and abilities that God has given to you for the purpose of accomplishing his mission in the world, but they are only realized if you are living in Christ Jesus. Amen. You will never find the fullness of your purpose and the experience of living out the gifts that he's put in you until you are walking with him, living in his life. That's why he's invited you to follow him. Not only to rescue you from your lostness apart from him, because apart from God, we are all lost in this world. We are apart from our purpose, apart from God. You were called to follow him. You were called to participate in something that is bigger than we can understand or imagine. We are participating in the advancement of God's kingdom. The powers of the coming age breaking into our present age now in the person of Jesus and through you. Jesus came saying, the kingdom of God is now here. Change your thinking, repent and believe the good news. Follow me. In Jesus is a taste of the powers of the age that will come breaking into this present evil age before he returns. When he returns, it'll be all over. There'll be no more evil, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more death. He said, behold, I am making all things new. He is making all things new, and in that day, all things will be made new. You have a calling of God to participate in the advancement of his kingdom. If you're not yet following Jesus, this is for you to know. Jesus invites you to follow him, to enter into the life of the future age now, where there is joy that you can't even describe, peace that doesn't make sense, peace when you shouldn't have peace. There is provision and there is love and there's a family. There's a removal of all of the stains of every evil thing we've ever done. Every sin, every shameful act is removed. We taste it now. He invites you to experience that life so that you will also become part of the advancement of his kingdom, which is like an army advancing in war. And what we've been studying together is the phrase, fighting the good fight of the faith. The faith refers to the revelation of God's will in his heart that I just partially described to you for humanity. And there is a conflict because there is an enemy who does not want his kingdom advanced, an enemy who hates God and as a result tries to destroy his creation, people like you and me. So you are called into the following of Jesus and into the entering of his kingdom advancement, doing and proclaiming the truth about who God is. A worldview that understands what reality really is, that is opposed to the reality that the world systems are proclaiming loudly. You have a counter message. You're revolutionaries. You feel the weight in the room suddenly. And there's war going on. So we together are studying and training about that. The Bible describes it like this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. With that mindset that you're part of the advancement of God's kingdom and there's war against you. So be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. So the writer here is going to use the imagery of armor. As you all have been listening, but some of you are new, so you might not know where we've been. Armor, like a Roman soldier in the first century, to protect against the advancement of the kingdom of darkness and also to advance against the kingdom of darkness so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. There is a devil and he has schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's not even against political parties. In our nation, we're about to enter into a major struggle, political party against political party, to determine a president and other positions of office. And it could get really ugly in the next year in our nation. People will be yelling and screaming and making accusations. In one political party, some of the people will say, "You're not even a Christian if you're not one of us." And the other political party will say the same thing. But we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We have another kingdom, the kingdom of God. And there's a war, and there's a battle. So put on the full armor of God, because we are fighting against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And now, here's your test. Those of you who are with us, we have identified a few images. The first is the belt of truth. Truth about who God is. The truth that's been revealed to us in the Word of God. Also truth that is personal integrity that ties all the other weapons together. And then the next piece of armor was breastplate of righteousness, covering the internal organs like a breastplate that covers the front and even wraps around the back. What was the next piece? Okay, you got to wear feet. You got to wear some boots. And the word is the readiness that comes from the preparation, or the preparation that comes from the gospel of peace. The good news about peace with God, and as a result, peace with each other. That is the foundation of healthy relationships, which is huge in our world today. There is a battle against family. There is a battle against healthy relationships. Most of the people in this room have experienced trauma in relationships. You've been injured in relationships, but the gospel of peace has come to bring restoration to the places in your life that have been wounded by other people, and then to become a proponent, a carrier of good truth, and a way of living that brings peace to broken relationships, both with God and each other. Preparation of the gospel, please. What's the next piece of armor? Helmet of salvation, we talked about last week. In your mind, where the primary place, the battlefield, takes place mostly between our ears, structures and ideas and images and thoughts that are run in opposition to God's truth. The helmet of salvation could refer to the experience of God's truth that sets us free and enables us to battle ideas that run counter to God's truth. The passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, though we are in this world, we do not wage war as this world does. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We tear down every idea that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, it says, and you might want to look at that. Was there another one after the helmet of salvation? Sword of the Spirit, which is Tommy Mock in the room? Oh, Tommy Mock. So Tommy Mock offered me to bring some swords. He is trained in some warfare, so he thought it might be fun. He said he can do in 60 seconds a little mention about some swords. Is that right, Tommy? You want a mic? I'm giving away the mic again. So you wanted to say something, or you just want to show us some swords, or what?
Well, back in those times, during Hebrews' time, where the Israelites were under Roman occupation, and the Roman gladiators, which were the police force of the citizens back then, they wield something called a gladius. Now, I don't have a gladius with me. I have a black belt in kendo. Through that, I've also learned a few other sword arts. Hema, which is European martial arts, derived from Roman times, which derived from the Greek martial arts they had back then. So they wield something called a gladius. This is an English longsword. The gladius would be about this short.
However, is there a real sword in there?
Yeah.
Yikes.
So imagine this weapon. This isn't very sharp.
Thank goodness.
Because the European actually had better steel than most other parts of the world. But this thing, if you use it correctly, you can use not just to slash, but to hit with the pommel, to hit with the hilt, and to actually wrestle around. There's many ways to use this particular weapon. The gladius, this is a descendant of the gladius. Gladius would be shorter. This is a little longer, used in different ways. So imagine a sword like this, but with the sharpness of the famous katana. Okay? Now, Pastor, will you run your finger around very carefully. Feel it?
That's a razor blade.
Okay. So imagine the cut of this blade with the power of this blade. So we're talking about a very fine belt weapon from the Roman Empire. And at that time, that's what Paul was deriving. That's the kind of sword he was talking about.
Cool. I told you I love this church. You have a visual. Paul wanted you to have a visual. That's why he wrote this. The sense is there's a real war, but it's spiritual. So we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Have you heard the phrase from someone, "You have my word"? Have you heard it from a car salesman? Right? And then you're not so sure. But some car salesmen are good. If you're a car salesman, listen to me, I apologize. Because some of you are honest. I've met some of you. Some of you aren't. Have you heard the phrase, my word is my bond? Now, if God says my word is my bond, you can bank on his word. The word of God is his bond. It is more powerful than a double-edged sword, and as solid and as dependable. Let's just look a little bit at some of the things the Bible says about the word of God. Isaiah 55:11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but I will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Strong words. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the starry host by the breath of his mouth. If there was a big bang, it sounded like this: let there be light. By the word of God, the stars were created. It's reliable. In Matthew 24, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus speaking, but my words will never pass away. Luke 16:17, it is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law or the Torah. The Hebrew scriptures, the word of God. Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And the word of God is so united with the person of Jesus, the one in whom is the kingdom that we started talking about when I started talking with you, that he himself is called the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and nothing was made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the word of God, is powerful and dependable. And in him, we have everything that pertains to life and godliness and our purpose, and our reason for being, and the source of all the strength we need for the battles that we fight as we contend for the good fight of the faith. I'm going to use this metaphor of the Word of God being like a sword from two places in Scripture and try to talk through it, so that we can learn a little bit more how to handle the word of God. Did you notice that Tommy looked like he'd handled a sword before? Did you watch how he sheathed it? That took some practice, some experience. Followers of Jesus, you have at your disposal a sword, only better than a sword, it's the word of God. But you need to learn how to use it. You need to know it. You need to handle it. You need to know what it looks like, what it says. If you're going to fight this fight effectively, you need to know experientially the Word of God. So you have something to do. I did, you know, a lot of research as I always do, and I went to the words of a man named Ray Stedman, who is considered a very consistent, reliable, dependent expositor of God's word. And I'm going to quote some things from him regarding this word that we call the word, translated two different Greek words. And here's what he says. There are two words that are used in the original Greek scripture for the word of God, quote, unquote. There is the familiar Greek word logos. Has anyone heard that word, logos? Okay. which is used in the opening verse of John's Gospel. What I just read in the beginning was the logos, or the word. Then there is another word used less frequently, rhema, which is somewhat different in meaning than the first. The word logos refers to the total utterance of God, the complete revelation of what God has said. The second word, rhema, means a specific saying of God, a passage or a verse that has special application to an immediate situation. It implies a use of the word of God that is applied to a specific experience in our lives. The second word, rhema, is the one used here in the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The rhema word of God in your life is called the sword of the Spirit because it not only originated by the Holy Spirit as its author, but it also recalled to your mind, is also recalled to your mind by the Spirit and made powerful by him in your life. It is his well-chosen answer to the attack of the devil. Like a swordsman with a trusty blade in his hand, the Spirit brings a flashing, sharp-edged, highly polished word to our mind to parry the sword thrust of the devil. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you, and some of you don't. You will discover as you grow in Christ, Hani was describing growing in Christ, 5 years now. You will discover the truths about who God is and truths of the Scripture, originally written by the Holy Spirit himself through the agency of humans, will be brought to your mind by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit in times of attack. Remember, much of the attack is going on in your thought life. And your thought life meaning how you perceive anything and bring it to your consciousness, including how you feel about it. So the attacks that you are experiencing, sometimes of anxiety and depression, sometimes of weird anger, sometimes of feeling super defensive when you shouldn't, sometimes of being certain that you are an absolute failure and you aren't even saved. Someone in this room feels that way. Those are attacks and ideas. And if you know the word of God, it will come to you like a sword and you will hack that idea down. And you will march forward, and after the day of attack is over, you will be left standing. So that's one application. Here's an example. Jesus. Matthew chapter 4 tells us that right after Jesus was baptized by John, he was taken by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He went into direct warfare like we're describing. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, I guess so. Sometimes there's sentences in the Bible like, duh. He was hungry. He was fasting because God called him to fast and pray. Sometimes God calls you to fast and pray. The tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And there's nothing wrong with eating, but Jesus was called to not eat for a season. Soon, Jesus is going to leave the wilderness and work crazy miracles like turning rocks into bread. He didn't do that one, but he certainly took a few loaves of bread and a few fish and turned them into enough food to feed 5,000. He's going to be doing this kind of thing soon, but not now. So Jesus answered, "It is written." A word came to him from the Scriptures. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Right now, I'm fasting food so that I can even better hear every word that God is speaking to me about my mission. So shut up and get out of here, Satan. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, now watch this. Satan goes, oh, he's going to use the Bible. I'm going to use the Bible against him. So he says, for it's written, He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. So Satan comes along with a scripture. He might know the Bible better than you do. He's been at this a long time, attacking people like you and me. But he takes a scripture and tries to make it say something that it doesn't say. So Jesus responds, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It is also written." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus is going to get all the kingdoms of the world, but it takes a lot longer than the devil's lying offer. Sometimes the devil might come to you and say, "You know, this long project, we can speed that up. Just do this thing, compromise here, and you'll get there faster." Ever had that one? Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him. And the angels came and ministered to him. This is a good example. We could spend some time telling stories, but our time would run out. There are lots of stories in this room of people that have had this experience. I have. I heard some I haves. I haves too. One time, we heard this story. Luke, the biographer of Paul, basically writing in the book of Acts, writes, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Don't be afraid." I suspect Paul was afraid. That's why the angel came to say, "Don't be afraid." Don't you think that's what was going on? Why else? Do you remember when you read the Bible, these are people just like you and me. They're no different than you and me. They're just regular folk who have taken seriously the call to follow Jesus and join him in the advancement of his kingdom in their time and their world, like you and I are called to do in our time and our world. We have a message to proclaim and some works to do. We have people to pray for and see them healed. We have people to pray for and see them set free from the bondages of Satan. We have a job to do. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and you also have a sword, the Word of God. "Do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one's going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. This scripture came alive last week. Let's see, no, the week before. The city that he was in at the time, which was Greece. I think it was in Greece. But I'm not positive. But I can look that up for you and get back to you. Or you can read Acts 18 and find out. Actually, this is your homework. Research it. I think it was Greece. And in any case, the week before this last week, in our Monday, our morning prayer meeting that you're all welcome to. We have a Zoom prayer meeting Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning. We get together, we read the Bible, talk about it, and then pray for each other. And it's a small group of us show up. We could have many more, but we often, almost always, have someone from around the world join us. And on this day, our friend who's in Haiti, who's a young man, about 25, no, 27 now, that I've told you about, he was in the meeting, and he was praying because the week before, an evangelist was coming from the capital city to hold revivals in his city, along with 9 other people who were kidnapped. And if you didn't know, in Haiti right now, it's chaos. You can look in the news. The prime minister just resigned so they can make an interim government, but basically the nation is run by gang lords. And there's massive crime and shooting. So these 9 people were kidnapped. There was a ransom demanded. Our friend told me, The way it works there is the kidnappers will burn and beat the hostages until they get their money and eventually kill them. Somehow, the community raised the money to pay the kidnappers. And our friend was the one who was assigned to take the money to meet the kidnappers. He told me this, and I was like, hold on. This sounds very dangerous. What could happen to you? Are you sure you're supposed to go? Well, what happened before I asked him that was in our prayer meeting, they read these words. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I'm with you. No one's going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city. That's what they read in our prayer meeting 2 weeks ago. And then I said, are you certain that this is what God has for you? What could happen to you? He said, well, yes, they could kill me or they could kidnap me. But I feel like I'm supposed to go. And we read this word, and it said to me, it came alive by the Spirit like a sword. Do not fear. I will be with you. And the good news is, he showed up with the money. He got the hostages out. And he didn't get attacked or killed. And he took the hostages to the hospital where they're being cared for. But this word came alive to my friend. It's very real. In a situation that I'm like, still like, I'm not sure I would have gone there, bro. Can you think of any other passages in Scripture where you've heard this phrase about the word of God being like a sword? What does it say? That's a good word. Good word. Now, I mean, specifically, the image of a sword is used to describe the word of God. Can you think? You did well. You're all nervous. Yay. Can you think of any other? Have you heard this before? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Ooh, and she knows that's Isaiah 54:17. Okay, that specifically mentions a sword. Revelation, what does it say? That's Hebrews 4:12. And I'm going to talk about that one in a second. But someone mentioned Revelation. Did you find it? How about Revelation 1, somewhere around 16 or 17? John the Revelator sees Jesus. He's like crazy warrior, and he's shining like bronze, and his eyes are like fire, and his voice sounds like thundering waterfalls. And out of his mouth is a sharp-edged sword came out of his mouth. So there is a picture of Jesus speaking. His word is like a sharp two-edged sword. And in the second chapter, where he's bringing correction to the churches, he says to one church, take care of this issue, or I'm going to come with the sword of my mouth and deal with you. So the word of God can be sharp. Okay, but let's look at the Hebrews passage that you brought up, because it has another dimension to how the sword of the Spirit works, the word of God. And this is more my understanding as I read the passage about the formation into Christ-likeness, which is a huge part of being able to take our stand against the attacks of the evil one. Becoming whole. You and I need to grow in maturity. We need to grow in emotional maturity, in spiritual maturity, and so on. So the scripture he read was, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now that verse is great by itself, but in context it's even better. The picture is of God's word being able to penetrate to the deepest parts of me and reveal some things. In the context, right before this verse, how you doing, by the way? I'm hearing some like, is everyone, you all with me? Do you want me to just stop right now?
No.
Okay, we'll take this one, okay, and then we'll be done. Just wanted to make sure. Those of you that wanted me to stop, you got overruled because they were louder. Hebrews 9 says, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. A shalom rest, a peace on the inside. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fail by following the past Israelites' example of disobedience who did not enter God's rest in the wilderness because they had no faith and they disobeyed God. He says, we need to enter that rest. Let's not be like the example of those, our predecessors, who failed in faith and obedience. Let's not be like them. Let's enter the rest of God. For the word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So you need the context, right? It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Picture a bone. The joint at the end is thick. It's tough. It's hard to break through. But inside the bone is the softness, the marrow. And the picture is God's word will penetrate to the deepest parts of me, the hidden parts of me, and expose them. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing is hidden from creation. This, by the way, is the word logos, the entire revealed word of God. Now, does God's word, as I'm reading it, as I'm learning from it, and exposes some things deep inside of me, have you ever experienced that? Weaknesses inside of me. Does God reveal in order to shame me? To judge me? To make me feel awful and guilty? He reveals to heal. And if you keep reading, that's what you see. The word of God penetrates the deepest part of us, exposing the attitudes and the thoughts of the heart. Therefore is the next word. Therefore, because we need to enter and rest, because God's word is sharp and exposes the deep parts of our heart, therefore, since we have a high priest, Jesus, who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, that's home firmly to the faith we profess, we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Therefore, since it exposes everything, and since we have a high priest, Jesus, who's been tempted every way like us, but without sin, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace, God bless you, to find help in our time of need. Here's how I put all that together. Did you follow that train of thought? I need to enter into a place of complete shalom inside me, like Jesus was. Have you ever noticed how relaxed Jesus always was? Nothing ever ruffled his feathers. No interruption, no false accusation, no mistreatment. He was good because he knew who he was. He knew he was loved by his Father. He had complete rest of soul. I need rest of soul. But the word of God, as I study and learn and sit before it, comes and shows me the deep parts of me that are not at rest, that are in trouble. Sometimes because of my sin. Sometimes because of my various weaknesses. It reveals that I need to change. Therefore, I am to go to the throne of grace, where I have a high priest who's powerful and sympathetic because he understands and he reveals to heal. Therefore, I go to the throne of grace in my time of need to receive help for my weakness that's prevented me from living in the fullness of shalom. Did you see how that worked? The word of God is sharp and active. It will reveal, but it won't reveal if you're never in the word. You have a calling on your life. You've been endued with unbelievably amazing gifts by God. You are called to use them to accomplish his purposes. You're also weak. And you have some problems that God is working out. And he will work them out if you will expose yourself to his word, which is powerful and active like a sharp sword. It will reveal the areas that he needs to work on. So you then come to him together with others, and we minister to each other by the power of the Spirit who's revealed what needs to be healed. We come together to the throne of grace where we find mercy and help in the time of need. And in that process, over and over, we become more like Jesus himself, who is able to do battle against Satan. Your character needs to be developed. My character needs to be developed. The Word of God will help develop my character so that I can engage in the warfare that I'm called to, because I'm called to fight the good fight of the faith. Joining God in the advancement of his good kingdom, bringing the powers of the future age into the present age now with truth, with a reality of, with an understanding of how things really are, who God is, who people are, what the nature of sin is, what the nature of redemption is, and invoking that and bringing the power of God to make it become reality in our lives. Does that make sense? Well, let's go get him. Let's pull out the sword. Let's stand. Let's have a band come. I don't know what to do next. I'm going to pray for you. That's what we're going to do next. Sword of the Spirit. We right now are going to have some people down in the front who want to pray by the power of the Spirit for people here who have needs. So let's take advantage of the moment we have. Some of you, I believe, have been hearing or feeling challenges from God himself to step up your game, to enter your calling, to step more fully into the purposes for which God has created you. Whether you're young, you can enter fully into God's purposes if you're 10, if you're 12, if you're 7, if you're 15, if you're 40, if you're 60, if you're 90. Age doesn't matter. Financial condition doesn't matter. You may be poor, you may be rich. You may be homeless, you may have three homes. Irrelevant. Race doesn't matter. You might be black, you might be white, you might be brown, you might be Asian, you might be from Africa, you might be from Haiti, you might be from Hong Kong, you might be from Mexico. It doesn't matter. God calls all races. So you are called. You cannot find a way to disqualify yourself other than you choosing to not follow Jesus. But I'm saying, you won't like that life like you'll like this life, so follow Jesus. And today we're reminded that we have something called the Word of God, which is like a sharp sword, both to attack Satan and to be used by God to pierce into the depths of who we are and bring healing where there's weakness. So, with all that said, and with what Spirit of God is speaking to you all, respond now. The band's going to lead us in some worship, but it's going to be such that it's fitting to pray for each other while they're singing. So you can sing with them or pray for each other. You see people down here already. We're going to pray for each other. And if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, simply look to him now and say, I want to follow you. I say yes. Come into my life. Make me new. Wash away every sin I've ever done. Fill me with your Spirit. I want to follow you starting today, just like Hani did 5 years ago. I want to do that. Let the Spirit of God come upon us now. Let the kingdom of God be amongst us, ruling and reigning, healing and saving, equipping and sending. By the power of God's Spirit and by the power of his Word. Lord, let us be the people you've created us to be, joining you in your mission of bringing redemption and salvation to this entire planet until every place is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Let your kingdom come upon us, we pray. Amen. Let's worship together. Let's pray together. Let's continue walking with Jesus. The Lord bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. This weekly podcast is available on our website, gracevcf.org, where you can learn more about Grace Vineyard and our vision for people everywhere to know and worship God.